Welcome to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don, a program brought to you by patients for patients with kidney disease and their families. Hosted by The Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at theroadbacktolife.com. Now, here's your hosts, Ashley and Don.
So we're very excited about today's show. We have a special guest with Don and myself, but this show is a little bit different because we are actually all able to do it from our homes. Because of COVID-19, we are following the guidelines that our separate states have put in place, and we are staying safe in our own homes, which is kind of cool, just like the last show that we did. So I am now, typically I'm in a studio in Linwood, but today I'm at home on Camano Island in Washington. And Don, of course, is over in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So Don, how are you today?
I'm fine. We got a little snow outside. It snowed over the night. And, you know, this is April. This is, I won't mention what day in April, but it's about the middle of April. We'll just put it that way. And it's snowing right now, in fact, and it's supposed to snow all day long. The funny part will be tomorrow when it's all supposed to stop. It'll go away so quick, it's not even funny. Yeah, I'm looking forward to today. I'm excited. I've got to know our guest a little bit over the last couple weeks, talking to her a few times. So, without further ado, Ashley, why don't you introduce who's here?
Yes, thank you. So we have Charity here today with us, and she's a kidney patient like us, and she's dealt with a couple different treatment options when it comes to kidney failure. So she has a lot of experience with that, and she's also a mentor for The Road Back to Life. So, Charity, thanks so much for doing this and being on our show.
Thank you.
So, we'll just start it right off. And why don't you just go ahead and tell us your story?
Alrighty. So, my kidney story starts at the age 16. I went to the doctor several times with chronic sinus infections, and nobody could explain why I had them. I got antibiotics over and over, and then all of a sudden, I started urinating blood, and the doctor made me an appointment with a specialist. The nurse actually told me on the phone that she thought I had arthritis because I went to the kidney and arthritis clinic, and at 16, I'm like, oh, all right, I didn't know you pee blood when you have arthritis. Okay, whatever. The next day I go to the doctor, and my blood pressure is 60 over 50. I'm seeing stars when I stand up, and I'm in kidney failure. The doctor scoots me over next door to the hospital and starts treating me with a combination of steroids and chemotherapy, and told me that he decided that I had a disease called Wegener's granulomatosis when I responded to the chemotherapy and steroids and didn't actually die. He was pretty blunt, but I appreciated that. My kidney function came back, but they told me that the damage was so severe that I would lose my kidney function within about 5 years. I was 16 at the time. So I went through treatment. I was getting IV chemotherapy once a month for 6 months at a time. Then I would get chemo pills. I would take it orally. And I did 6 months on, 6 months off kind of thing for a few years. But when I was 20, I went into the ER for, I don't even remember what it was, but they told me, oh, your kidneys have failed. It's time to start dialysis. So they put a catheter in my neck and I started hemodialysis. And I did hemodialysis for about 6 months. I got a fistula and a peritoneal dialysis catheter placed actually at the same time in the same surgery. And because I decided I wanted to try doing dialysis at home. So after about 6 months, I started peritoneal dialysis at home. And I did that for about 4.5 years. I was super sick at the time because I was still getting chemotherapy and, you know, that it kind of wreaks havoc on your life a bit, especially being on dialysis. So, I actually moved back in with my mom and she was my caregiver and, but on peritoneal dialysis, I actually felt a bit better than on hemodialysis. And so I got on the transplant list and I was well enough to get a transplant. And after, I was 25 when I got the call for the transplant. That worked out beautifully. It was obviously a cadaver, so nobody in my family matched me. That worked out great, and I had a transplant. I had the transplant for 12 years, and then after about 11 years, they told me that I was in chronic failure again. I was down to about 20% kidney function. And at that point you can get relisted on the transplant list when you have 20% kidney function, right? So, I got on the list again and I was very hopeful that I would get another transplant and kind of go from transplant to transplant. Because dialysis, as fun as it was, I didn't want to do it again. but that didn't happen. My kidney function went from 20% to pretty much nothing within a year. And so, knowing I was going back on dialysis, I got myself a peritoneal catheter again, because I knew I wanted to do PD at home. That's, what I had done before that I preferred. And so I got that done and went on peritoneal dialysis again. And that was 4 years ago. So here I am.
Well, and we're glad. We're glad you're here. You know,
thank you, me too.
Well, we are. I mean, quite honestly, there are probably across this country, there are, you know, a lot of people that are have gone through and are going through similar deals. My middle brother lost his kidney and got transplanted again. But you threw out some awful big words there, and I don't know if everybody listening quite understands them, because not everybody's kidney patients that listen to us. They're also family members, and they're sometimes separated quite a few miles apart, maybe states apart. And so let's help them a little bit with what kind of disease was it that took out your kidneys, first of all? The Wegener's disease, is that what it was?
So when I was diagnosed in the 90s, it was called Wegener's granulomatosis. However, I went to the eye doctor a few years ago, and he informed me that the man Wegener was actually some kind of hematologist in Nazi Germany. And so they changed the name of the disease because he was a Nazi. So apparently he wasn't allowed to name the disease anymore. So it's called something else now, but I, for the life of me, cannot remember what that is. So I found that out by my eye doctor, but it's essentially an autoimmune disease where your immune system is attacking your body. There are all sorts of different kinds, but mine specifically attacked my sinuses and my kidneys.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, chemotherapy will take out your kidneys too. And so some people who are fighting, you know, some disease that chemo is involved in, it doesn't always have to be cancer necessarily.
And
have kidney problems. They have to wait for a transplant until they get the all clear sign, and they're done with chemo. The other words, and it may sound redundant to us, and it may, you know, were fistula, the word fistula. Now, that is, you know, something people throw out there, and they go, uh-huh. And a fistula is basically what? Do you mind telling us?
Not at all. So a fistula is when a surgeon grafts your artery to your vein, typically in your arm somewhere. That's about as much as I can explain because I'm not a surgeon. That's just what they told me. It's an artery connected to a vein, so it's underneath your skin, and it kind of pumps up and makes that artery vein a lot larger than your normal arteries and veins, so that you can access it for dialysis treatments.
Right. Your normal vein size is oftentimes too small to carry the amount of blood needed to go into the artificial kidney to clean it properly.
Right.
So they put a fistula in, which causes the artery pumps more blood through that vein and stretches it out to the point where they can access it easier and they can get the flow right through there, so they can make sure that when we're on dialysis, we're getting as much treatment as we possibly can. The other word is peritoneal. A peritoneal, you know, is kind of a, to me, it's kind of a funny word because it just sounds funny. I don't know, but and we talk about it. We talk about it all the time. Some people prefer peritoneal, such as yourself, and it's a good thing. I'm glad we have it. But you want to explain a little bit of that? You've got a few years under your belt on this, so.
I do. Like I said, I'm not a doctor, so I just regurgitate what I'm told, pretty much. So everybody has a what they call a peritoneal membrane. When I talk about it, I compare it to kind of like an amniotic sac for a baby before it's born. Where it holds the baby in. So our peritoneal membrane kind of holds all of our guts in our core. And for dialysis, using the peritoneal membrane, the surgeon accesses it with a catheter, puts like a plastic tube in there, and then through that plastic tube, you put dialysis solution into your belly essentially, and it sits there and does kind of an osmosis. It trades what's in the dialysis solution through the membrane and pulls off the toxins. And there's also a sugar solution in there that pulls out the extra fluid in your body. And I compare that to like when you cut up strawberries and then put sugar on top of them, pretty soon you have strawberry juice because the sugar pulled the water out of the strawberries. It's kind of similar to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a neat process. It's a natural process, but it's kind of a neat process. Now, when you're kidneys failed, you know, the first time.
Yes.
You know, you must have, I mean, you're 16 years old, and that whole time from 16 to 21, You know, you must have wondered what life was going to bring you. Did you have any doubts or you wonder what the heck was going to happen?
You know, as a 16-year-old, not even knowing that I had two kidneys, let alone what they did, I guess I didn't take it very seriously. I don't know if it's just me or every kid. I kind of felt invincible, like it was, oh, I'm sick. Oh, okay, I gotta, you know, take some medicine. All right, whatever, you know, here we go. And on to the next thing. I wasn't really too concerned about my future at that point, not realizing the finality, I guess, of kidney failure. Like, it doesn't come back ever. So I guess I was kind of in a little bit of denial that, you know, this was going to be a long-term kind of haul, I guess, and that it would kind of follow me everywhere and be such a huge part of my life.
I think that makes sense. I mean, when you're that young, and because, I mean, I was only 15 when I was diagnosed as well, so you do kind of have that feeling of being invincible, and I'm not going to let this affect my life as much as I can. So I can totally
understand
that. Yeah. So, but then after all of that, you received a transplant. And then how did that affect you emotionally and physically after all you had been through?
Wow. So physically, I always tell people that going from dialysis to transplant is like waking up from being asleep. That's how it felt for me. And so physically, I felt absolutely wonderful. I mean, maybe all the steroids had something to do with that too, but I felt great. I didn't need any dialysis after my transplant. It worked right away. Emotionally, I was also, I guess, pretty high. At the time, I actually had gotten married 4 months prior to my transplant. So, I was doing pretty well emotionally, and it was just a good time for me. I was newly married. I was excited to possibly start a family, and I knew that I needed a transplant first before any thoughts of pregnancy. So I was super stoked. I was doing really good. I felt great. I'd like to do that again soon.
Well, you know, I kind of used to tell people about when I got transplanted. Actually, when I was on dialysis and first started, I was dragging and sick, and I didn't know what was going on. And then dialysis kicked in, and I started feeling better and better and better. And I thought I felt as good as I ever felt, you know. And then all of a sudden I get transplanted, bada bing, bada boom. It's like somebody put me in passing gear. I had energy. I had all kinds of things going on inside me that I never thought could be better. And I don't know, emotionally for me, it was a roller coaster when I first got transplanted. I tell people that Christmas time is that lovely time of year when Hallmark puts these advertisements for Christmas cards. And the one that used to really get me was a guy that walked up on top of the mountain up there and he read the card from his daughter. And I went, God, I just started weeping. Aww.
You know? Yeah.
And I haven't stopped at those kind of moments. I mean, dumb commercials will set me off. And my daughter gave me the kidney, and I blame her. I told her she gave me all those girl hormones.
All those emotions.
I don't know how to handle. It's a good thing I was born a guy, because I couldn't have handled being a woman. I don't know. but yeah, it's really, it really just kind of hit me emotionally. How about you, Ashley? Did you have some of that too, or?
Oh yeah, I after transplant, I was a different person. that first year, it was a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, you're so grateful and you're excited, and then I was dealing with a lot of different things that people don't typically deal with after transplant, and so that was also challenging. And yeah, I think that I was kind of hard to deal with, I think my husband would say, because my emotions were all over the place. I'd be washing dishes crying for no reason, and then I would be super excited, and then I wouldn't be feeling good, and I don't honestly know how he did it for that first year. there's a lot that kind of hits you. It's interesting, and no one could really prepare me for it. I just had to experience it, and I still continue with, 4 years post-transplant. There are days that, I'm just so grateful for everything and everything I've learned and gone through that it's still emotional at times. So.
Yeah, I can be angry and cry at the same time. I don't know why, but.
That sounds like the steroids, which I was on steroids for such a long time that maybe the extra boost at transplant didn't quite hit me the way it would hit you guys that weren't on steroids previously. Because what you're describing is what I felt the first year I was on chemotherapy and steroids. I felt emotionally all over the place. The crying and laughing at the same time absolutely describes that. But I was 16, so could have been the steroids, could have been, I was a teenager anyways. So yeah, it was interesting. Interesting for sure.
Well, those emotions. I'm on a steroid free regimen.
Oh, your regimen. Just, wonderful.
So I don't have that excuse. I don't.
Oh, then I have no idea what's going on with you, buddy.
I'm just one weird fellow, I guess. I don't know. But and I think we all hit this a little differently.
I think you're right.
And I don't think, a whole bunch of it is in whether you're a man or a woman so much as I think the medications, whether they got steroids in them or not, just kind of play with you a little bit.
Right. I agree.
And the other part is that I am just so grateful and thankful.
Absolutely.
What my daughter did for me.
Yeah. You know,
my dad died at the age of 59. And, what I have, my father passed on to me and my two brothers. And the interesting part is, as I look back, I'm 73. I just turned 73. I got a lot more years than my dad ever got. That's one of the reasons why we do what we do, is so that we can give back to our community. That's what my dad used to tell me. We got to give back to our community,
Absolutely.
And try to help in whatever manner we can. so that it isn't so scary, so that people know it's doable, and that life goes on long after, you know, you think you can make it. And so, you know, having said all of that, you know, that this little podcast we're doing here is for those of you out there that are wondering if there's life after kidney failure. And we're all telling you, yes, there is. And there's a lot of life to be lived after kidney failure.
Absolutely. Okay.
Now, there's some more to Charity's story, and we're going to talk about it here in part two. And we would like you to please, you know, look up part two, and you'll hear the total story about what Charity has gone through and what she's going through today, and how this COVID-19 may have affected what she's planning. And yet, you'll just have to listen, I guess, to see what it all turns out. But anyway, this is Don and Ashley from the Ashley and Don Show saying, be kind to one another. We hope this week's show has provided you with valuable information and inspiration you can apply to your life. Keep in mind, anything said on this show is for educational purposes only. As always, we encourage you to write down your questions and take them with you to your healthcare provider. If you have any questions for us or would like to talk to one of our mentors at The Road Back to Life, please feel free to email us at mail@theroadbacktolife.com. And we'll be happy to assist you. Now be kind to one another.